Okay, this is Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff, and we are interviewing for the Kinsley Library. Today we're in the home of Robert Kloss. It is April 4th, 2011. And we'll start out. Can you tell us your full name?
Robert L. Kloss.
And where do you currently reside?
Well, on my good standing, I'm here.
In Kinsley, Kansas?
Yeah.
Okay. And when and where were you born?
Parsons.
Parsons, Kansas. And what's your birthday?
October the 25th, so 35.
And what were the names of your parents?
Robert and Marie.
Robert and Marie. And
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. And Marie's maiden name was?
Maiden name.
Yeah.
Shinstock.
Okay. And do you know the names of your grandparents on both sides?
John and Barbara.
Is that Kloss? Oh,
Shinstock.
And Barbara's maiden name, do you know that or not?
Edelhard.
You want to spell that one for our transcriber?
No.
A-D-E-L-H-A-R-T. Okay. And then on the Kloss side?
With George and Emily?
Emily. Her name was really Amalie.
I never knew them.
They called them.
She died before I come along.
And how did she spell that?
A-M-A-L-I-E.
Yeah. Okay. And do you know her maiden name?
Habiger.
Yeah. Okay. H-A-B-E-R.
No.
I-R-G-E-R.
H-A-B-I-G.
H-A-B-I-G-E-R. Habiger. Okay. And did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah. Two and three girls.
Two boys and three girls?
Well, there were six.
Well, there were six of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be right. Two brothers and three sisters. And where were you in that birth order?
First.
That's right, because you're a junior. So you're the oldest. What were their names?
Ronnie and Jerry.
And the girls?
Leona, Alice, and Barbara.
And you were born in Parsons, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into why your family came here. So, what was life like in your household in Parsons? What did your dad do?
Farm.
He was a farmer.
He was married in 35, January 35. And then that ordnance plant for World War II that was built down there at Parsons, we lacked a mile of it sitting on Dad's land. So he thought he'd get in on some of the money too. Couldn't find a place to live. There was, I don't know, thousands of them come in there. And
what did they, what kind of ordinance?
Bombs.
Bombs.
They made bombs.
They made bombs.
Everybody was scared to death.
Mm-hmm. Not of the bomb making material? Mm-hmm. So what did your dad do to get in on the money?
He black marketed meat. And then every little place that we could keep warm in the wintertime, rented it out to them for living quarters. It took a boxcar. Dad bought a boxcar down there at Parsons someplace. Split it in half, made two apartments. And people were just glad to get it. He had a wash house. He changed that over. And let's see, what was it? Oh, he even put one in the back room of the house.
Mm-hmm.
The bachelor.
There's probably somebody today doing an interview remembering how they lived in a boxcar during World War II. And you said he black marketed meat. Did he did he butcher and then sell them?
Yeah.
What was meat rationed?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that meat was rationed. Have we heard that before?
Everything was rationed.
Well, he sold it to the people, there on
just
the farm.
The people, right, and milk
and cream and eggs and those things were all rationed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything was rationed.
Well, I guess I've never heard meat.
Or do you?
Yeah, well, no, we've been doing these interviews for a while.
Oh, I should have probably told that.
No, that's good. That's good to know, because that's, like I said, I didn't know it. Well, you just supplied.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else do you remember about that time?
Oh, us kids, we go fishing about once a week.
Where did you fish?
In some little old creek.
And what could you catch in those creeks?
A sun perch.
Okay.
Not that big.
Oh, he's sawing about 5 inches, maybe 4 to 5 inches.
So it was probably 3.
and did you go to school in Parsons, or was there a country school?
No, there was a Neil Shaw Valley. It was down on Neil Shaw River. What was that? 5-6 miles.
Not far.
East of where we lived.
And how big was that school?
A little country school, about, I think, just one room. And then they changed over, and I went to a school with Franklin. And it was a mile west. This was, like I say, 4 or 5 miles. It was out of the district. But I don't know. They wanted me to go with the neighbor kids. I was bashful. I didn't do too good in the first grade. I had more important things to do.
Well, now your little one-room school, so there was just the one teacher, and how many kids like your age in class? Or how many altogether in the school? About?
It couldn't have been very many. I don't really remember that. I don't remember a teacher.
How did you get to school?
In the car.
Okay. Your parents drove.
See,
you?
that's why they wanted to change. I would take the these neighbors was all in the other school district, and across the road was us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bashful me, I went down there, and I didn't like it at all. And that's when they changed me over. The next year.
So
and then in January we moved out here. I went a year and a half.
Okay.
And then we moved out here. And you talk about rigging the road. That was like a bunch of gypsies coming down the road.
Okay, hold that just for a minute. So you're too young to remember the Depression.
Oh yeah.
But what do you remember about World War II other than the
there wasn't much outside of bombs. Well, there's a lot of people there. They made bombs for World War II. Dad had an aunt that worked there. I don't know what she did, but she worked there 3 or 4 years, and she just kind of turned yellow and died.
So you think there was some...
Oh, they know there was.
Chemical poisoning or whatever.
Yeah, they know there was.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at that time, maybe they didn't know how to test her. I don't know, but they sure were. Then every so often you'd have a blackout. Boy, everybody out around there had to blow out their light. We didn't have electricity. I never had electricity till 47.
So you had to cover the windows and...
Well, it was always at night. You know, you just blow out your light or turn it off.
Blackouts were easier then.
Yeah.
They'd blow a whistle, or how did you know that there was...
They'd come over your battery radio, and then it was in the paper. It was really, everybody knew it.
They were like scheduled.
I mean, if the old Jap was sitting over there in town someplace, he I thought it was very unorganized, what little I knew.
And now, if there was a story that about a, was it a parade or something? What, or they brought a tank or something? Was
well, it was for old Uncle Sam to get money, I think.
For war bonds. Or
yeah, they had this submarine.
submarine.
It wasn't. I'd say what 40 foot long, and back there, Parsons. This railroad went up here, and here was this underpass, and they got hung up in it. And well, they took us to, in school. They took all the kids, and so they could see it. And here sat this Jap in there. And they couldn't go. They had to do something. I forget what they had to do.
And this wasn't a live person. This was
it was a stuffed something.
But you weren't sure, were you?
Well, at that age, you didn't know.
Yeah, you were just like first grade or something?
Yeah, well, see, I was in the second.
Second grade.
Well, I think that was in the spring of 44, yeah, sometime in there. That was about it, I think.
It was pretty scary to see that guy, right?
Hmm?
It was pretty scary to see that guy stepping in there.
Well, yeah, it was.
You know, well, just the submarine itself, too, would have been... different.
Yeah.
It was, right, was.
I think it was just to show what the boys was doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you have chores at this young age on the farm?
Yeah.
What were your chores?
About the usual, feed the hogs and milk a cow and
chickens. Now, your dad had livestock and raised crops?
Yeah, he raised corn. you could raise anything back there. Have you ever been back there?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that place is paradise compared to this dang desert.
So why did your dad decide to move out here?
He didn't want to like that row crop work. That was too hard to work.
Yeah, your mom said it was because... they wanted to put half the kids in Catholic school.
I think that was her excuse.
Well, now wait, he didn't like row crop work. What does that mean?
Corn and beans and, just corn alone. That was a man killer. He did everything by hand.
And horses, didn't he use horses?
Horses.
You were using horses when you were a kid?
Yeah, for corn. That was another funny thing. I was a little... that's why I didn't get along with school. I'd rather go out and ride the horses or do something. Anyway.
Well, how do you harvest corn with horses?
You got a deal on the palm of your hand, you rip it open, snap it like this, and throw it in the wagon.
So you were cutting the corn off the stalks by hand and throwing it in the wagon, which was being drawn by horses?
Yeah.
Okay. But that would be labor intensive.
Well, first you had to plant it with horses. Mm-hmm. Then you had to cultivate it, maybe once or twice. And it was entirely different than what it is now. Okay. I think the funniest thing, like, when I was out helping Dad, he bought a new tractor in 39, 40, 41, probably before the war, right? Anyway, it was a tricycle type, narrow front wheels. And then I was... about 5 or 6, and I was told Dad I wanted to drive that tractor. Oh, he says, you're a little small. And I said, I won't drive that tractor. Well, he broke down. He kept after him long enough. I'd driving around out there in the yard, hey, bring that tractor over so we can put it in the shed. He didn't follow me. But when I went in to shed it, I forgot this back wheel was over here. Kerslop! Luck was I was going real slow. I never did say nothing to him. One day something come up. He said, yeah, he says, I know you about tore my shed down. I didn't think he'd see it. That's how dumb it was.
So when he came out here, did he grow wheat? Is that not a row crop? That's not a row crop? Or?
No.
Okay, see, I'm
that's
not a farm girl.
That's what you see out there now.
Yeah, and I'm not a farm girl, no. So I'm
trying the to... beans and the corn are being planted right now, mm-hmm. I guess.
But, and so he came here and bought land? And
yeah.
And where did you live here when you moved here?
A mile and a half west of St. Peter's Town. Church out there. Mm-hmm. And I got talked into coming to town.
Well, that
we spent
was a long time later.
44 years we lived there.
Yeah, we'll get up to that. So, on the farm here, he raised wheat.
Wheat and Milo.
Milo, and then did you have livestock? Or just
yeah.
Would you run cattle or?
Yep.
And hogs and chickens and?
You name it, we had.
Did you have sheep?
No, we had a goat once.
And when you came here, did you, were you tractor farming at that point or did you still?
Yeah, no, Dad sold the horses. He, I think it hurt him worse than anything to sell. He had two horses, he broke the pool wagon, or you know, they were big, they weighed a little over 2,000 apiece. Tame, they were just like a dog. Like shucking corn, these horses would go down here, turn around by themselves, and go back, you know, on each row.
They knew how to do it themselves.
You gotta had an old neighbor was going to help him. And Dad, you know, he shucked it or just was going along there. And this neighbor says, how do you get them horses turned them around? And he says, if yours can do it, mine will too. Well, they caught him about 4 miles down the road. They took off and went home.
How about your trip to Minnesota?
Oh yeah, you started to tell us about the trip coming up.
Well, that was kind of like a bunch of gypsies is what I'd call it.
What did it look like?
Well, when we moved out here, Mom drove the old car. She had a little baby, Leona, was 6 months old maybe. And this old car, this rickety old trailer had hooked on the back of it, had another horse, and I never have figured out yet what Dad, we had this old truck, and why he brought that old horse out. He said, couldn't do nothing with her, she's nuts. And then we come into Wichita and had a flat tire. It was down there by the school someplace.
Well, who was driving?
Dad did one and Corny Shinstock drove the other one.
And Ben and Uncle.
And we couldn't, or Dad couldn't change the tire because the doggone kids just got out of school and they'd never seen a horse or a cow there. They climbed all over that truck and I'm surprised it didn't scare everything to death. I thought, well, now that's funny, never seen a cow.
Now, did you have relatives or anything in Edwards County? I mean,
that's where Mom was from.
Oh, okay. She was from here. So she was coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was.
Well, Dad was too. He was born down at Horses. They lived out here Oh, Vince Elfers, you know where they live? Go mile on west. Oh, south was a dad's place.
We'll have to look for and see if we can find a picture of the house.
When your dad came here, was he getting some family land or did he buy the land?
Part of it he did, and then he bought the rest of it.
And I guess with this, let's make sure, this what year was this when you moved here?
January of 44.
44? So the war was going on.
Oh, yeah. Everything, well, tires, gas, everything was rationed at that time.
So must have made it a little more difficult to do the move and get set up another household and everything.
Well, yeah. It was just, well, just one jump ahead of the horses. The horses were going out when I got started.
And then when you moved to there, where did you go to school?
St. Peter.
And this is a parochial school.
Yeah, up mm-hmm. here.
Mm-hmm. And how many kids were in your class then?
Five, I think.
I said they had lower grades.
They had four rows, I remember that, and they about five apiece.
Okay. And did you like this school any better?
No.
You wanted to be out on that tractor.
There would be some place besides there. That's about it on the school. I didn't play football. I wrestled a little bit.
That was high school.
Well,
I'm just telling about school.
And your chores were about the same, or did you gain responsibility as you got
older? Oh, we wised up. I think I figured out how to get out of it. I think the best thing we ever had when I was in grade school was, I don't know, we was at a farm sale one time, Henry Herman, that's Joe and George's kids, and they had this, we was up in Hodgman County, they had a ranch or something, they had this pony was out there, about a half pony, and oh, I went over and looked at it, and when Dad got done there, or at the sale, or whatever, and I said to Dad, I said, I sure like to have that pony. Well, Dad just said they weren't going to have no horses. I don't know how he got into it or what, but we ended up with a horse and a buggy and a... What the heck else was it?
Saddle?
No, we had to get the saddle different. But anyway, this was a nice two people buggy. The old pony gets you a stick. He raised all of the Lotmeyers and the Hermans, Joe and George, he raised them. This pony. I think it was 20-some years old when they got rid of it, or it died, I guess.
What was that name, Lopmeyer?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
L-O-B-M.
L-O-B-M-E-I.
No, L-O-B-Y, isn't it? It's L-O-B-M-E-Y-E-R, isn't it?
L-O-B-M-E-Y-E-R. We occasionally spell for our transcriber here, so... make her life a little easier.
Now what's the point?
He got up and walked away. Well, I said you'll be back.
A man needs a drink. How did you get to, how far were you from the school, or how did you get to this?
A couple of kilometers, a mile and a half.
They didn't make you walk through the snowstorm, so.
I had to walk down the driveway, by golly. It was what, a
long driveway?
Block or so, or better.
And then someone picked you up?
Yeah, but they had to come.
Oh, your dad.
This is when we got to the bus.
To the bus, yeah.
When we went to grade school, Dad Jimmy always done this.
Mm-hmm. Back then,
they wouldn't let the Catholics ride.
The buses wouldn't stop the Catholic kids. They don't want to ride by the school.
Okay, I hope that got on there. Let's see. Lost my train of thought here. When you're on the farm, did your dad use help, or did he have enough kids?
Well, he had three kids running around. Three boys, I mean.
Three boys, yeah. Didn't need help. Go ahead.
I started running the tractor when I was what, nine?
Tell them about him getting burned and all showing the pictures.
Well, I don't know, Dad. Dad, well, for he was accident prone from the word go. He, in 37 or 8, his hand, he was cutting wood and he cut these fingers off right here. All four of them.
All four fingers?
Mm-hmm. Didn't hit the thumb, I don't know.
Now you said cut them off. You mean?
Cut them off.
Actually,
yeah.
So he only had a thumb on his left hand?
All of that. But he had a knuckle left here. He could.
On his little finger?
He could wiggle it. You talk about something hard, boy. When we had to, he give us a haircut with these old pulling things.
Flippers.
I tell you, we get swirling around, whack, on top of the head. Yeah, this one knuckle, ooh, got hurt. You started sitting still.
And so he was accident prone, and you were going to tell something about a fire? Or?
Oh, well, it was the saw, and then we had them old D. John Deere's. To start them, you had to crank on this big old flywheel. And he had a heck of a time when it was hot, you know, he couldn't grip it.
Mm-hmm.
He was pouring fuel into it when it was running and it caught on fire. And we spent 3 or 4 weeks in the hospital. They wanted to take his leg off, and he said, "You're not taking my leg off." He said, "We're going to see if we can't make it work." No, they didn't have no skin grafting much at that time. That was in 47 when that happened. And, by golly, it just drawed his leg up real tight, like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat with baby oil and rubbed right here and kept working. By golly, he got that. He could walk fast as I could or better. Hmm. And then when the old doctor, he wanted to chop it off, and then we farmed out at Dighton in Lane County. I don't know what he did, but he fell off the dang tractor and the one way run over him.
That was just what Chris was going.
Yeah. And it drug him along in front of the one way, and with that it hopped up. Went over him. Didn't really do a whole lot of damage to him for going down there.
The ribbons, really.
Now, tell us what a one-way is for the tape.
Well, it's got a disc every 8 inches, about that big around, mm-hmm. on a frame.
15 inches?
20, 21, 20. Something like that, if they're new. Well, it's just like a teeth in a cone goes over the top of you. Nobody seems to know why he didn't get chopped up. I took him to Dayton, which was 18 or 20 miles. Then they went on, took him, got an ambulance, and went to Garden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this side, it cut this side of there, but you can't see it. The doctor did really a good job of it.
Well, now, when in your farming in Dayton, did you take the farm, the equipment with you, haul it back and forth?
Most of the time. You leave something set out there, somebody's like the air out of the tire or something. There was one old farmer out there with a screwball.
He was with his dad when he got burnt, and he was run over for him.
Well, maybe it wasn't your dad was accident prone. Maybe you were just the bad luck to have a long
run. Yeah, you better look for
actually, it was good luck because you saved
him. You should look for something different.
Now, what? Let's see, we're in the 40s now, working up. Was this all dry land farming you were doing?
Yep.
No irrigation?
No.
Did you do any...
no water.
Fertilizing or insecticides at this time?
No, not at that time. Then were people that come over when Dad was burnt. That was taken. That was 47, I think.
Cool. That's a neat picture. Okay. So, high school then, you came into town?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And went to Kinsley?
Yep.
And what kind of a change was that? Did you like that school any better?
I didn't know where the door was when I went to high school. I was never in it.
Explain that.
What? I went to school out St. Peter's to the 8th grade.
Yeah.
Well, then I went in here. I never got to town. Occasionally, maybe Saturday afternoon, see a movie or a cowboy. If Gene Arthur and Roy Rogers was along, we generally got to go.
Okay.
But...
So you just didn't, you had never been in the school when
I was never in the school.
Maybe you got to say that. Now, where your family out there? Where did they do their business in Kinsley?
In town.
So and where did they take the wheat?
Here in town.
Okay, everything came into town. Yeah.
The co-op was here a long time before that. I don't know. I know 51 when I started school. High school, they were just building this elevator, this new cement one.
So you were in the class of what? What year?
55.
55. About how many classmates did you have?
What was it, 40 something?
Yeah, just right at 41,
too. 40 something.
And most of these kids you would not have known then?
No. They're strangers to me.
Yeah. Well, there was your sister and Johnny Herman that came to town for their with you, right?
Yeah.
Were there ag classes at that time?
Vocational ag. Mm-hmm. I was the first one to go have class in this new one.
In the building across the street.
Yeah, I was the president of the FFA.
And it was FFA at that time.
Future
Farmers.
Farmers of America, yeah.
And there was 4-H too. Did you participate in 4-H or not?
Well, I did for a couple of years.
What were your projects?
A calf that wouldn't lead. I didn't like it too good. They go put me up for president, and I said, "You better not, because I'll quit." They said, "Nah." Well, I quit.
I guess we should have said, what do you remember about the end of the war? Remember?
Let's see, 45.
You didn't have
war, but by the way.
You didn't have any relatives, uncles, or anything that were in the war.
Yeah, Edward Chinstock was in.
Well, your dad had a brother.
Do you remember
dad,
them?
Dad had a brother.
Do you remember them coming home? Or?
Not really.
No. You're out there on the farm.
Yeah.
So, you graduated in 55, you just told me?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. Were you drafted into the
Army? Well, got out of the Army.
Now, how'd you get into the Army?
Went down to Greensburg, put my name at the top of the list. That took, 20-some days, and I was in.
Okay, and this is during the Korean War?
Just as it quit.
Just at the end of the Korean War. And where did you go to for your training?
Fort Carson.
And what was your field or specialty or whatever? I don't know. What
tank called. Mechanic.
A tank mechanic. And how did you like Army life compared to farm life or school?
It's just about what you made it. I mean, if you worked it right, every weekend I was. What was I in? 7 different countries while I was over there.
Okay, you were stationed in Germany.
Germany. And then on the weekend you get a 3 or 4 day pass. You go all over.
Did you see any of the aftermath of World War II?
You'd be surprised. There was very little of it. They pretty well had her all cleaned up. That was, 10 years?
Yeah. That is surprising.
Don't your barracks still have some?
Oh, well, yeah, you know where they shot at the barracks. And the barracks we stayed in over there were just like a motel. Had hardwood floors, and the walls was tiled.
And they had been built by the U.S. Army, or they
for the Air Force?
For the Air Force.
Wasn't it the German Air Force?
Well, I don't know. Something like that. I guess it was.
You took over a German Air Force barracks.
It was pretty beat up. I mean, now that showed as much as anything. There was shells, you know, that hit. And then the concrete out in front of the shops. So a lot of it was all busted up. But I guess if they give you enough money, I guess you can do a lot of the things.
So what countries did you go to, and what'd you do? What'd you see?
Well, I was to the Berlin Wall. Then I went to Switzerland, Paris, France, as you call it, and England, Holland. Where was the big bush?
Switzerland or?
No. What did they
Austria?
Call it? Austria? I was in Austria. Oh, I can't think of it.
Did you travel? Belgium?
Belgium. Yeah, Belgium. That's when they had the last big push on the Germans.
Did you travel with Army buddies? And
yeah, 2 of us went, seen a lot of, took a 2-week deal. We just went where we wanted to go. It's cheap, I mean.
Did you travel by train?
Yeah. We got in Paris. Never thought nothing about it. We grabbed old suitcases. We said, well, first thing we're going to do is find us a motel. So dumb us, we walked down the street and there was a motel. that night, that afternoon or evening when it was time to go back to the motel, we couldn't find the motel. And we didn't know what the name of the motel was. We walked, and I looked at this kid. I says, "Listen," I says, "I think we went by here two or three times." Oh gosh, we had a bad time. Taxi drivers act so stupid.
I'm assuming we didn't talk about this earlier, but Klaus is a German name.
Bohunk or something of the sort.
Bohemian. But you didn't know any German, or
no. Mom didn't either. They cut her off. I think it was 18, wasn't it? 1918? World War I?
Yeah.
Well, kids didn't speak no more German in school. So that was the end of it. Mom didn't get very much. She just started the school.
But they did start reading and writing it, or anyone reading it. And then when the war broke out, why the people out there were being checked on and everything. And
so the people out where?
St. Peter and Paul.
So there was
a German community.
World War I, the... there were suspicions, or
because a lot of them, the families had come directly over.
But that had been, so the language had been. Did you have relatives in Germany that you were able to look up?
Yeah, I guess brother, he'd been doing that.
But you didn't do it when you were in the service.
I didn't care who they were. Still no.
I think you need to back up and explain why you pushed your name up on the draft list.
Okay.
What had you, why did you want to go in right then?
Well, they got out of high school, and it was drier and dry, and everything was a dying, and I told Dad, I said, "Man, I can find something better to do than this." Oh, he says, "You don't want to go to the Army. You don't want to do that." I says, I'm going to go because my name's on that list. I said, "Hey, I guess as well kind of get a chance." So I read or come up with everybody in Western Kansas that was going to take change to one division with the other. They moved about 5,000 people over there, went over and come back. With the other people that were getting out. And anyway, I went down and signed up.
So
just took my chances.
It was a drought that there wasn't, it just
was
wasn't
bad.
Fun.
I mean, 51 and 2, 3 and 4.
We haven't heard about that. Did it compare with the Dirty 30s or?
Pretty close.
Rabbit hunts.
Oh yeah, dude, rabbit hunts. We've had other people.
Well, ours was mild compared to what you've seen, you know, of the 30s. You could go out. Well, there's a bunch of us was always hunting rabbits. That 40 Philly station down there, that drive-in bay there, we had that half full, over half full of rabbits. Then they loaded them up and sent them, I don't know, New York or someplace, feed beaver.
Mink.
Mink, yeah.
How much was it?
Dime.
A dime a rabbit?
Yeah.
Why were there so many? Did the drought cause that? Or?
Well, they was eating anything green.
Had the coyotes been eliminated so they didn't have the predator? Or?
They couldn't eat them fast enough. A rabbit will take care of itself. Here, I'd say 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, it had to be longer than that. Anyway, down in where I grain cattle, it just looked like the ground was a moving. There was so many rabbits down there in the mornings eating. I'd take you out there now, and I don't think there's a rabbit out there.
These jackrabbits?
Yeah. I just don't believe there's a rabbit out there.
Did you eat rabbit too, on your house?
No.
No.
We were scared of them. I mean, had this rabbit fever or something. Didn't want to mess with them.
They're dogs.
Sure fun, though. Yeah. We did a lot of night hunting.
You shot them with a rifle?
Yeah,
that?
Right in the back of the pickup. Yeah.
Now, your dad was trying to grow crops at this time, and they were just failing, or?
Yeah. So government give out a bunch of potatoes. Dad, we went in down here someplace where the train come in, they parked this railroad car, and you'd have to shovel them on. Look, you'd be feeding the cows on potatoes.
Yeah. Well, that was cattle feed.
Yeah.
Did your father get outside work or anything at this time in order to keep the farm going, or?
No, I think if you hung on long enough, the government helped you. That's when these wheat programs and all of this, you can plant so much, you know, and they guarantee it. I think it's what it was the government kept it going.
Kept it going.
Well, like potatoes to keep the cows.
I guess we didn't talk about it, but I assume your mother always had a garden and did canning and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the garden costs more than up there. That just is no garden country. Mm-hmm. Gotta have it sandy.
Well, and during this drought period, were there the windstorms and blowing and going?
We blow for days like this. No, that's funny, they were so close together, you know, the 30s and the 50s, and it's been clear sailing most of the time. I mean, no, we had our little droughts, but she's going to hit one of these days, and I'm afraid these young people aren't scared of nothing. they aren't. It don't bother them any. Kid, he.
No, don't tell.
Well, I'm not going to tell nothing. I don't know if the cow goes dry, we'll find another cow or something. Well.
When you came into school from St. Nicholas, St. Peter's and Paul, I'm sorry, I knew that. Was there prejudice because you were Catholic?
Yeah. Oh, you mean in school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I never had no trouble with nobody. I mean, absolutely nobody. Okay. What was that?
I said, just my dad.
Whoa. You look up at that big man and say, you better listen.
That's what he said.
Let me think here.
No, well, most of the kids I've run around with were Catholic anyway.
But was there prejudice within the community? Because you started to falter.
Oh, I don't think so. Who? What do you mean? In what community?
In our community, it's a kind of a division between the Catholics and non-Catholics.
Well, that was a real old ones or something. I mean, whatever, paid no attention to that.
Okay, you came back from Germany in 57, and then what did you commence to do?
For
your dad, or on your own, or?
I had the cattle and the gad the wheat.
And somewhere in here we meet Mary, but was this back in school, or?
Yeah.
So I was minding my own business.
And what happened?
I slowed down to go around the corner and she caught me.
But was this while you were in high school or after high school?
Well, all scattered out. She went on to college and I went to the Army. Mm-hmm. And
did you correspond during that time? And
yeah. I wrote a letter once in a while. Mm-hmm. And let's see, where are they?
Hello.
So you were dating then? Or,
yeah. Well,
because there's quite a bit of time up to, let's see, 1962 when you got married. What was going on during this time?
I told her if she was going to go to college, I couldn't afford to send her to college. I says, either let your mom pay for it or you're not going to finish college. Well, that's why. I had more time and money.
And she was younger than you, so we're...
3.5 years.
Yeah, so we're having to catch up that young, you know. She wasn't going to be done college when you were getting out of the Army, so there was a time, lag time there. So, Mary, when did you graduate from college?
61.
61, and got married in 62, so then... Where was she off at college?
In Bory, I guess.
And again, would come home occasionally for a date?
Yeah, she could catch a ride.
And when did you become engaged?
October of my first year of teaching.
October 60, and then we got married in July 62. So, tell them what we did for fun.
What did we do for fun?
That you can tell us.
We went to every wedding dance for fun. We didn't have to be invited to go to the wedding dance.
Okay, so you were a dancing couple.
Get a couple snorts in you and you dance pretty good.
And that's the jitterbug then, right?
Yeah.
No, that is rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're up past the jitterbug, aren't we? Rock and roll.
And did you roller skate? Not at that. We did back in high school some, but not, you know, like.
So where were you living at when you got married? Where?
The home place. Mom and Dad moved to town.
Okay, they moved into town and you moved into the farm place. And we'll talk to Mary maybe later about that. And you then were you doing the whole operation, crops and cattle?
Or no, I stayed with the cattle and then I fed baby calves. Or maybe have shipped them in from Wisconsin.
And what kind of cattle were they?
Holstein.
Holstein.
Bucket fed and bottle fed.
Was that an easier living than the crops?
No.
Harder?
Harder and expensive sometimes. About the time with a calf, you get to think where your boy you got her whipped, and the calf dies.
And then you bred the cattle too, or not?
Well, they were beef cattle. See, I had these shipped in from Wisconsin.
So you weren't calving yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, both.
Yep.
And did you, was this on pasture?
Yeah.
Did you raise some feed too, or?
Yeah. At that time, they had some alfalfa.
Did you make ensilage or?
What?
Ensilage or?
No.
No.
Back at that time, he used a binder made shocks where you
You know, we'd make little bundles and then you'd go out and pick them up and stack them into the teepees.
And the corn, like corn shocks or whatever it's called. And then those were fed to the cattle in the winter. So tell us about this cattle operation, because I'm not a farmer. Do you try to sell them in the fall so you don't have as many over the winter, or how does the cattle operation work?
When you get them about 800 pounds, you want to get rid of them. I'm goofed up. I had some few steers.
Some what steers?
Steers. That's castrated bull.
Well, I thought you had an adjective before the steer. No. Okay.
Got lost. Anyway.
You goofed up. You had some
anyway, steers. It was this year. I had these few left over from some that I sold in January and February. No, it was before that last fall. I thought, boy, that's a pretty good price. Now I hear that Wednesday at the sale, it was record high. They've never had cattle.
This is this past Wednesday?
Yeah. They've never had cattle. Well, they bring a buck 30, 40, 100.
What were you getting back in the 50s?
I sold some Holstein steers for 10 cents a pound. And that didn't buy much.
And you didn't make use of feedlots or
something. No,
so you would just, you would go to a, where, what sale barn would you go to, or how would you sell them?
Well, it'd be either Winners at Dodge or Pratt or La Crosse.
And what makes the decision?
When you decide to sell them, you ought to have some place to go.
You never sold out of the Kinsley sale barn?
Yeah, that's where I got that 10 cents.
So you tried other places to get a better price?
Yeah, you go to the next place you didn't like them. Okay. We had to make a trip to see the doctor on a wonderful cattle business. Had this pasture down there by Nettleton and had a sick steer. So we messed around with it. It just got goofier and goofy. And all of a sudden, he was chasing us around and told Murray, I said, God dang. Had the kids running around down there. I said, there's something wrong here. I said, I don't know why he's so goofy. So we got to pick up and put the cattle racks in and go down there and we catch him. He was still just constantly trying to catch us. So we took him over to Oliphant's, and Oliphant stood back and he said, you take him home and lock him up. He got rabies.
Mm.
And so I had to put it in the back corral back there so it couldn't get away. And we had chickens and he chased the chickens around and foam at the mouth, and I think it took him 3 or 4 days or five longer than
that. It was about a couple days.
Why didn't they just put him down?
They had to have the head. So we sent the head in to Manhattan. And you can't have it all, you know, if you shoot it in the head, it screw up its, mm-hmm, however they test
the virus goes through the brain.
You got to let them die on their own.
Oh, that was just terrible.
Moaned and groaned.
I've never heard of cows. I mean, they're mammals, so it's illogical, but I just never heard of cows getting rabies.
I never need them. All it is you gotta have a skunk bite them or something.
Mm-hmm. He's just bald and he'd fall down and he'd froth his mouth and he'd just bellowed. You could hear him shut up the house and you could still hear him.
That would be awful.
It really was. And then when he died, Dr. Oliphant came out and took a chainsaw and cut his head off, packed it in ice, and a couple days later, well, no, it wasn't a couple days. It was like the next day, they called back.
And then what did you do with the rest of the carcass? I mean, do you have to worry about the disease at this point?
Or? As soon as it hits the air, it's gone. That's why, if it don't get in your bloodstream, rabies won't hurt you. But, you know, bite, scratch, anything.
And when was this?
About 64.
This is in the 60s? Okay.
This was in the third grade, so it's farther than that.
About 9 or 10, something like that. He wasn't very old.
Well, the hen was, we had the hen. I'd say it was, it was after the tornado, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Well.
Time doesn't make that much of a difference. It goes.
We had to take shots. Mm-hmm.
16 of them.
In your stomach?
Yeah.
The whole family?
Curtis and her and me.
Well, you mentioned the tornado, and when did that happen?
1970.
And if we're up to trouble, go ahead, tell us about the tornado.
Well, you think a tornado don't have any... Is that one-way one in there?
No, not in there. Well, here's a picture of one-way somewhere.
There behind there is a one-way back there.
But they're pulling a one-way. That's it.
You can only work one way with it. That's why it's got the...
Right, it's called that. So what happened with the tornado?
Blowed every day away. Well, I wanted to show you that one picture there. You didn't get it, though.
What's that? Oh, I got it. It's stuck in
there. I want to show that one way they're talking about. Now, see, you can see that pretty good. Now, mm-hmm. It's about 10 foot long. Believe it or not, it was sitting out in the field, and that tornado picked this up. Now, what would they get a hold of? Yeah. But it turned upside down.
It's turned upside down.
Oh,
the handle. It sticks straight up that they used to adjust it. It was go down to the back.
Did it damage the house?
Kind of. Put cranks in it.
I think it moved the house, but Bobby's dad still owned the house at the time. And he told me.
He might have got insurance and never told me.
Did it damage any outbuildings?
No. Where is there?
No, there's a shed with the roof off of it. The garage was here. Took the garage. This is the pieces of the garage. We're looking east. Now, where were you during the tornado?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Holding the east door of the house shut.
He was safe in the house.
So you were upstairs, not down in a storm cellar?
No.
The kids and I were.
I think the prettiest tornado I've ever seen was, we've been through, what, three? Was Sunday afternoon. I was laying there in the when snooze time. Pretty soon she told me, she said, get out of here, I want you to look at this. And I said, She said, there's something going on.
Something's turning, huh?
But believe it or not, it just kept growing and going to the northeast. And we was standing there at the house about two blocks down here in the was grass over the pasture. We stood there within two blocks of that and watched it go by. There wasn't a breath of air. There was nothing. I mean,
it was still where you were.
Yeah, and on the other side, Elder Burke, it blowed over his water. shed or where he keeps his electric rope and stuff. But he just stood there and it just was going along.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've seen Little World.
Mm-hmm.
This was a giant one. But on the side we stood. No, it was close to us. It was really closer than I thought it was. I had 3 feet boat sitting out there right north of the barn there. And it took the middle one.
Huh. And tornadoes are strange.
They are.
What did the tornado, the one you were talking about first, the neighbors, did anybody lose their...
Oh, yeah. Bob Schmidt. Let's see who else.
Did he lose his house or barns? Or?
It took everything of Bob Schmidt's, but that house.
Not the house.
Then we're next. And then Elder Burkhart. And then...
What did you do at Burkhart's?
Tore down a big barn.
Those prized cattle were inside.
Killed somebody's cattle, didn't it?
Cattle were inside and they were killed?
I don't think they was inside. I think they throwed the barn on them.
Threw it on. They were in the corral beside the barn or something.
And then Fricks, Matt Duckendorf.
Laura Warner. Mm-hmm.
Laura. Oh, yeah, Laura Warner.
What happened to Laura Warner's house?
Everything
gone? There was nothing.
This is a pretty big tornado, then.
It was a giant.
And did we say what year this was?
1970. Bobby always thought that it either turned around and it came back, or there was another one. Because he'd finally come to the basement. And it got quiet out and everything. So he said, well, I'm going to go turn the flashlight around. And he was standing out in the front, and he heard the wind build up, and he heard a roar. And then more of the shed just went boom in front of him.
So this was at night.
I guess we
haven't said
10,
this.
10 o'clock, 10, 11. So?
I don't think it was like that night.
So then what did you do the rest of the night?
Well, we went over to Richard Duggendorf, lived across the road. Now it didn't hardly do any damage to him. And I went with him, went over to Matt Duggendorf.
This
is his dad. Went over there, and believe it or not, Elmer and Jack Frick was there before we got there. They were checking out, see where they're.
And they took the top of their house off and
hoot.
Mats and Mary's.
Oh, top story in the barn. Well, took everything but.
There was no loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
No loss of life.
No. Nope. That's about the end of my story.
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit because you told us you didn't have electricity until 47.
Right.
And that's one question we've asked people. Telephone, did you always have that in Carson?
51, I think, when we started high school.
And television.
Well, we had got a television in 55.
Worked on an antenna?
Hmm?
On the antenna?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How many stations did you get?
3. Which was a plenty. No kidding. You take right now this daggum TV. You don't like the program, so you go tick 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 tick, you know, and you don't like it, tick 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 tick. Well, if you got 3, it only takes 2 clicks and you're out of business. Either like it or don't. Now that's what I figure. TV is terrible. It's always running, but it's terrible.
Okay, and are your children still farming the farm now, or are they in cattle? What's happened to you?
Well, we got the boy kind of halfway started, Lisa or Leanne.
She likes cattle, and she always has, and she's bought herself a few cows and calves for the first time, and she'd like to get bigger. I don't know, it's kind of an iffy thing, but she needs to be a hard worker. If hard work is all it needs, well, they'll get it done. They're going to need some luck.
So are your children all still in the area?
Well, Lisa's at Garden City. That's it. And we got the Cracker Jack running around there.
Where? At Garden or here?
Carson.
Oh, here.
Oh, man, he was proud of himself. Some of her cattle business. One of the cows just went star raking nuts. I mean, it run through the fences. And this was what, Saturday? So she got the Mexicans to come over and rope it. And when they got done, I guess he didn't have much trouble. He must have had a pretty fair horse. They said the horse was just about too small for what it is. It really had to paw and snort to keep that cow from dragging the horse away.
We had a cow like that one time, and Rosetta's brother had to come rope it.
Yeah.
And it was bound and determined it was not going to get to the sale, you know. It was just awful. And when I got to the sale barn with the thing, the guy who was checking it in wrote, "Nervous." And it by when they let it out, it put the guy in the pen up the fence and everything. It was a bad one. Okay, let's see. Tell us a little bit about your church out there. We haven't talked about St. Peter and Paul Church. What was it like?
Well, I don't know. It was a church.
How big was it? I mean, what was the congregation like? It hasn't changed over there.
Oh yeah, it kept. I'd say it was in the 50s, was it, at its top.
And
well, let's see.
Now, all the families out there in there, I mean, we're talking a Catholic church, so they had large families, basically, and so that's why in the 50s it was...
Yeah, everybody probably had 5-6 kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, our generation is from that.
And you had a priest?
Yep, till 50.
No.
Oh, that's right. There. Yeah, we had. Then
the resident priest, he was there. Leanne was baptized. My father did a lot. So it would have probably been around 70 when they moved the house off.
I don't know, something.
And who taught the school, at the parochial school?
Sisters.
Sisters. So there was one or two, or how many sisters?
There's generally two and a cook.
Two and a cook. So there was a home for the sisters and a home for the priest.
Yeah, I never did figure out what sisters needed a cook for.
What, did the cook cook for the priest also?
No.
Oh.
I don't know who paid that bill. I often wondered about them.
I always figured that the cook either couldn't make it in nursing or teaching, because that's what they all did. Mm-hmm. And
so she was sort of a sister too, or not?
She was a sister.
Oh, they were three sisters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, father's wasn't.
No.
Good looking cook.
How many times did you go to Mass while you were in school out there?
Every morning.
Every morning you had Mass. Okay. And did the church sponsor any other social life in the community? Bingo, dances?
Well, they had the picnic, or whatever you call it, in the summertime. It was a big blow.
That was during money.
Well, everything was during money. Mm-hmm. And when they got the beer drinkers up there, they had little parties and stuff.
Oh, okay. We had lots of gatherings, you know.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Potluck dinners and...
am I remembering from another interview, a dance floor or something?
It's still there. That was put down in 46, I think.
Cement slab?
It's breaking up.
So the little store that was there, it sold the beer? It sold beer?
Yeah. That was quite a place.
Was the German heritage evident out there? I mean, I grew up in a German community too, and
beer?
No. But we would sing Silent Night in German in the church at Christmas time for the older generation, and some of the food. We had the big German pretzels that were so good, you know. Did people make their own sausage? I'm trying to think of.
Oh yeah, most of the time did your own butcher.
Other remnants of the German culture out there. That was.
Was your church ever in German? Did you ever have German?
Latin. I'd say the last time it had it was, like I say, in 18.
Yeah.
In World War II, see, they cut
all
that off.
Cut all that
off,
yeah.
Start throwing in jail.
Who came out and checked to see if you were loyal citizens? Was it the sheriff? Was it vigilante group? Or
I'd say somebody with my adjective again.
I think Mr.
Moffitt,
A.L. Moffitt.
So he was a lawyer.
He was the lawyer, and I don't know if he was the county attorney or what, if he came out.
So what did he look for? Did he look for German?
Anything German on that?
Picture of on the wall.
Yeah,
well, you know, they drove the Japs out of California. They just had them all over.
But the older Germans, when I went out there, you know, the old grandmas and grandpas, they had a very strong accent.
So there was prejudice in World War One, but by the time World War Two, you didn't have to worry if you were a German.
No, I think
we found that down south too in the Lutheran community there. World War One was a problem, and maybe down to Greensburg. Even in World War Two, there was still some hangover, but not up around over.
Yeah, that's what makes me so bad now is this business of this.
Speaking
in Arizona. Yeah. Mexicans, they speak this and they won't change. And, well, who was. Don't like it.
Yeah, there's a generation or two.
Yeah.
That's what it took in my community that I grew up in. You know, the grandparents could speak and write German, and the parents of my classmates could understand and speak a little, and my classmates
didn't want nothing to do with it.
So, yeah. Well, I just, and they didn't offer it in the school. They offered Spanish.
When Dad was birthed there in 47, Duckendorf just lived across the road. And there was Kate and Mary and Nick and Ted.
And Mary.
What's this?
Old maids and old bachelors.
Yeah. There were four old bachelors. And, well, they're the best people in the world. I mean, they were. I stayed over there for about a month while Dad was in the hospital. I'd go home and just walk across the road there and feed the cat and the dog. And it's the only one thing I didn't like about them. They didn't want me to know they talked in German. They would even you know, well, I had no idea what they're talking about. Mary was a character. She wore out the telephone rubber. You can erase that too. She might read it.
That's all right.
No. She's upstairs. She's looking down here.
So what has happened to the church after?
It's fallen down.
You lost your priest.
Yeah.
Was there a time period where you had someone come in, not a resident priest, or did
we was hooked up with Overly. Well, Burdette.
Well, now that's when the church was still going. There was the same priest. There was Overly, Spearville, Burdette, Anston, and those four priests. They were all young, and they rotated around through the parish. And we'd get together and have every summer. One parish would entertain the rest of the parishes, and we'd have a big dance and have a lot of fun there. And then after they were gone, the rectory had been gone for quite a long time. And then after they were gone, then we got the Tonka St. Nicholas.
So when did you stop having services out there?
93.
93, and
that's
so
when
then,
it closed.
And then you came into Kinsley to the St. Nicholas. And so the population out there had gone down. Children moved away, didn't come back, smaller families.
Nothing out there, I mean, the forwards. Boy, our divorce alley out there on the...
There was no kids, no future for the parish, the bishop said.
Well, that's a unique problem for a Catholic church to have the divorce rate affect
the
congregation.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because you said your generation, sort of the post-World War II generation, stopped having so many children. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't know when the pill came around, but is that okay? That's
the
reason.
The other day,
and then in more recent years, then the divorce rate went up, and that affected the. That's interesting how that.
Yeah. Has never been sanctioned by the church.
Right.
But the younger people, I guess you'd say, wasn't as obedient.
Mm-hmm.
They became more free thinkers.
So that's what affected the church.
There'd probably be people mad at me for saying that.
Well, that's all right. They probably won't read your transcript. How was the feeling about coming into St. Nicholas? Was that a congenial move, or was there resentment? Or?
You know, my attitude was, I don't give a darn.
There were some people went up to St. Mary's for a while, but then that was closed, and Overly, and some went to Kinsley. There was a lot of rub going about it. Some people said they wouldn't go to Kinsley if they have. Mm-hmm. You know.
They knew they would after a while get this smoke calmed down.
It was a bad time for the church. I mean, closing all the little parishes.
And ours was the first one.
Oh,
in this diocese. And they made a lot of mistakes, the hierarchy did, in the way they dealt with us. And there was lots and lots of ill feelings about that.
So resentment to the hierarchy.
Maybe. Well, yeah. And there's been so many more since then, and they've gone about it differently. And it was really hard on the old people out there that had been out there for 80 years, that had been there, mm-hmm. their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it killed the community. Mm-hmm. They didn't have dances anymore.
I knew a lot of them, only the older ones that was there when the new church was built. whatever it was, it was built seven, I believe.
Okay, Ms. Rosetta, I think we're getting close. Do you have specific questions?
Well, we usually cover medical. You doctored here in Kinsley your children.
Mm-hmm. And with Dr. Snowden.
With Dr. Snowden, okay. And you had your children at the hospital here in Kinsley?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Were you and your siblings born in the hospital or at home?
Everybody at Parsons.
I don't know, maybe I was born at home.
The first four was born at home in Parsons, not on a farm. And then Leona was born...
Spurville.
No, Leona was born at the
no, hospital. No, she was born in Parsons.
And then Alice was born in the hospital in Spurville.
Yes, we've had that, you know, people born in Spearville.
There's quite a few out in there. Born in Spearville.
Now, when Alice was born, Grandpa was laid up, yet with his leg, he was very good. And it was terrible weather. They called Dr. Snowden and he said, "Are you sure your car will make it? Do you want me to come out and get you?" Now, can you believe that? Mm-hmm. And no, they get there. And they finally made it. Oh, I think they got as far as Albert.
Albert's, a gas line froze up on his car.
Yeah, and they were right by Grandma's brother, Albert Chinstock's place. And so he took them on to Spearville. And someone was getting ready to come out looking for him because he thought it was taking too long.
You know, that old Snowden was a funny guy. One of them had this
rabies
deal. Well, that evening I called up, or somebody called up Snowden and told him, and he says, "I want you to come in the morning." I said, "Oh, it didn't bite us." He says, "I want you to come in the morning." And he says, "We're going to get," after we knew they had to. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I ain't coming." Snowden says, "Well, I just don't give a shit whether you come or not. You go ahead and die." He says, "But the boy is going to town in the morning." He said, "That's it." He said, "Oh, I don't care whether you live or die."
Okay, and the community out there was the church and a little store. Was there anything else?
Church, priest's house.
And the priest's house.
Sister's
and the
house.
Sister's house and the school and a little store, but that was it. That was the community.
Yeah.
And then you did all your trade in Kinsley, and you mentioned, what was it like coming into the movies on Saturday?
Well, kind of like going into a different world. All we've seen is old bleak desert out here.
What'd the movies cost?
12 cents.
12 cents. Did you get popcorn too?
No. Well, I doubt it. Make your own popcorn.
Nickel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did your folks go with you, or did they visit during that time?
No, don't dust it out. They went and did the trading.
How often were you able to do that, do you think?
Well, once a month, I guess, okay. I'd say. I would just guess.
I think they left you kids at home.
Well, yeah, we had to.
And Barbara babysat.
And you did chores and stuff at home when they came to town.
Yeah.
So I think, your family would have been a lot in the car.
What do you mean, all of us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, then it was a two-door car.
Let's see.
We usually ask about, I guess, race relationships. Did you had
all the Hispanics at that time were Catholic, right? You mean
pretty much.
Was there prejudice against the Hispanics?
When? Way back?
Well, no, and during your lifetime.
Well, 50s and 60s.
In school.
It's getting worse, I think.
The whites didn't date the Mexicans. The Mexicans didn't date the whites. And if you were black or Mexican, you had to sit in the balcony at the movie, at the theater.
I couldn't go to the swimming pool, right?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember seeing any of them there.
No. Well, where were you born?
I was born in Pawnee County.
You're at the church.
Did you ever live up here on the farm?
Well, of course, you were out there then. It used to be more recently. Equal status at church and everything? I'm trying to think. Cemetery, because we have Catholic cemeteries.
Oh, the cemetery.
We still got
the
problems.
Mexicans were born on the,
were buried
on the edge of the
So, in your cemetery, St. Peter and Paul,
there wouldn't be any.
Oh, they're white. Totally white.
Yeah.
And here at the St. Nicholas, they were buried along the edge.
North fence, I think.
North fence. But were there altar boys that were Hispanic in St. Nicholas?
I don't know.
I've never seen one, I don't think.
Did they go to school? Catholic school?
I think they went to public school.
Probably there could have been a money issue.
So many of the Hispanics now go to the Hispanic Mass, and that's their choice.
At St. Nicholas, there's a Hispanic Mass.
I wonder who cooked that up.
In the past, there was
just really big into bringing the the Hispanics, keeping them Catholic. You know, personally, I think they'd be better off if they just meshed in with us. But I think it would ease a lot of people's
I think there's only
prejudice.
One Mexican family I knew in Kansas.
At
Molina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were Rincons and Perez's.
Oh, yeah.
And
but he was out in the country.
Yeah.
But he came to school here. These
Contreras's.
People, Contreras's and Chacon's. You missed all of those.
Oh, Louis.
Louis Chacon, he was older. Rosetta probably never knew him.
I don't know Louis, but there were several Hispanic families.
Val Perez.
Mm-hmm.
He always had a cool car.
Oh, he was
So most of your friends were the friends you had from the community, St. Peter and Paul?
Just one. John Herman.
Just John.
Yeah. Well, Harold.
Harold Shinstock.
But he was cousin.
Yeah, cousin. Bruce Holly, David Esslinger.
And here's another question for you. We've interviewed other people. Did you have a motorcycle?
He did. Yeah.
That crew up there, I've heard some stories about motorcycle.
Good way to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, that made him so cool and watch.
Mary liked you on your motorcycle. Huh?
My dad, absolutely. If he saw me riding it, he'd just go.
Oh. Yeah, owned 1, 2, 3, 4.
What kinds of motorcycles did you own?
Two of them I wish I had back.
Mm-hmm.
Indian and a Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
followed after the kids got big enough, but I was always doing something with the kids on Sunday and messing around and getting in trouble. I went down to Chevy Garage one day. Once when Bill Dark had it. And here come that little old motorcycle around, somebody was pushing it. And I thought, well, golly dang. It was only about that big. Got to thinking about that. Boy, couldn't curse and I have fun with it.
Didn't tell me about it.
So I bought the little motorcycle. That was the start. Yeah. That's one over in Germany.
I don't want to ride in Germany.
I don't think that's in here.
I thought there was a picture of Curtis in here on his little motorcycle. That little motorcycle went miles upon miles, and then Lisa took it over, and it's not in here. And then Leanne took it over, and
God. It raised three kids. It only had one speed, was 30 miles an hour.
We put one of those flags on it, you know, it has long, because they go over to Dockendorf's in it. Why, they went through the ditch when nobody had seen them coming along, and how they survived, I don't know. No, Bobby did lots of things on his motorcycle. You and John went to Dodge that one time and played hooky on it, didn't you?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Old Roy Rogers was going to be in the parade. And I said, I'm going to go to Dodge and I'm going to go to the parade. So, Mom, she said, well, I'll write you an excuse. I said, I don't want no dang excuse. I said, he can chew me out when I get back. So, went to the parade. Went to school the next day, and man, old Dawson called me, and he greeted me out. And I knew I was going to get it, because why write the excuse? That's two of us. I'm going regardless.
You and John were all over on that on your motorcycle.
So you got to see Roy Rogers?
Yep.
Was he riding Trigger or in a car?
No, he didn't have his horse. We'll have to make a trip down to Branson so I can see his horse. Have you ever seen his horse?
No.
Indeed.
It was kind of neat. The law back then was really kid-oriented, and he and John would roar around town, and pretty soon he'd flag them down and say, okay guys, you've got all the old ladies on this side of town in the stew calling about the noise, go to the other side of town for a while, then go home.
We was chased home every Saturday night.
No, they just came and told you it's time to go home.
Hey
boys, time to go home.
It was a totally different, you could do pranks,
yeah,
and not get in terrible trouble.
Oh, right.
Like you would now, you know.
Well,
if somebody painted Main Street now with class of 2011, they'd probably be arrested or
they would if they could catch them.
But back then they knew that you were going to do it.
I'm coming about back in your motorcycle.
I don't know, I just got a wild hair one day in the back of my motorcycle with the picture showing.
You went into the Palace Theater with it?
Oh, yeah.
The doors were open, you know. During the movie, he just backed in there and let her rip and roar, and then he took out of there.
Now, how old were you when you did that, Bob?
Oh, 17.
17, 18.
18.
Were you trying to get Mary's attention or something?
No.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know.
Then did you head for home before the law got you?
Well, I thought I was safe until he called Houston Sterrett that had the picture show copy of him later on. If you ever do that again.
About your last motorcycle, what happened to it?
Well, I don't know.
What have you always told everybody? You did
Oh, I had to sell the darn thing to buy a ring.
Oh, buy the diamond?
Yeah.
I don't believe that's true.
So said by that. Golly, that's right.
Oh, I sold it.
Sell my motorcycle.
Must have been a big diamond.
Motorcycle's more work done.
Well, now, Mary